Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
We're tackling a fascinating area today, really aiming to give you a solid grasp of some pretty complex ideas.
Yeah, without feeling like you're drowning in math, right?
Exactly. We know you're looking for those key insights, and, well, we're here to extract the crucial ones for you.
Think of us as your research guides. We wade through the dense stuff.
And pull out what really matters.
Precisely.
So today, we're diving into stochastic heat equations. Specifically, this concept called intermittency.
And not just any intermittency, it's when these equations are driven by something they call rough-time fractional Gaussian noise. Sounds like a mouthful.
It does. Our main source here is a research paper titled Intermittency for the Stochastic Heat Equation Driven by a Rough-Time Fractional Gaussian Noise.
It's detailed, definitely.
Yeah.
But our goal is to distill the core ideas, you know, what it means and why it might be significant.
Right. Our mission really is to get to the heart of intermittency in this specific context. We want those aha moments for you, connecting the dots without getting lost in the weeds.
Okay, so where do we start? What is intermittency?
Good question. The paper calls it a universal phenomenon.
Universal. Okay, so it pops up a lot.
Apparently, yes, especially in random systems that have this multiplicative element.
Multiplicate, like things compounding or interacting.
Exactly. Think of it like a small random effect getting amplified because it's multiplied by whatever the current state is.
Okay. And the K characteristic.
They talk about enormous growth rates of moments of the random field.
Moments. Statistical moments, like mean, variance, skewness, those things.
Yeah. And in intermittent systems, these moments, especially higher order ones, just shoot up way faster than you normally expect.
Indicating what? Big, rare events.
It seems to be the idea. Extreme fluctuations are happening more intensely, like sudden, massive spikes.
Okay. And this isn't a totally new idea in itself?
No. The paper mentions it's been studied quite a bit in stochastic partial differential equations, or SPDEs.
Right. Those equations that model things changing randomly over space and time.
Exactly. And how intermittent things get, how wild those fluctuations are, depends on a couple of things.
Like
the specific structure of the random noise pushing the system.
Uh-huh.
And the underlying rules of the system itself, the partial differential operator.
Got it. So what's the specific twist in this paper? What's novel?
The big thing is the noise. They're looking at intermittency when the noise, specifically the noise in time, is rougher than white noise.
Rougher than white noise. Okay, white noise is like pure static.
Right.
Totally uncorrelated from one moment to the next.
Pretty much. So rougher implies even more jagged, more erratic.
Yeah, think even more violently jumpy, less predictable on short timescales than even white noise. It has this sort of anti-persistence. If it just went up, it's slightly more likely to go down immediately after.
Huh. And that kind of super rough noise hasn't been looked at much for intermittency before.
Apparently not as much, which makes this interesting.
Okay, so what's the actual equation they're studying?
It's equation 1.1 in the paper. It describes how this quantity, UTX, which depends on time t and position x, evolves.
Right, UTX.
Yeah.
And the equation involves the Laplacian.
Yes, yeah. The Laplacian operator. That basically measures the spatial curvature or how much u is spreading out.
Okay. And the randomness, where does that come in?
It comes from that multiplicative term, UTX times WEX.
So the noise W just multiplied by the solution U itself. That's the amplification effect we mentioned.
Exactly. And this noise, W, is a Gaussian random field.
Gaussian meaning bell curve statistics at any point.
Yep. But the key is how it behaves over time and space. Temporally, it's modeled as a fractional Brownian motion.
Fractional Brownian motion, right. That has some memory, unlike regular Brownian motion, controlled by the Hurst parameter, H.
You got it. And H here is the crucial dial. They're focused on H between 0 and 12.
Because that's the range where it's rougher than white noise.
Precisely. H12 is standard Brownian motion related to white noise. H12 is smoother, more persistent noise. H12 gives you this rough, anti-persistent behavior.
So H is our time roughness knob. What about space? How does the noise vary spatially?
That's described by this function, QXY, the spatial covariance. It tells you how related the noise is at point X versus point Y.
And there are conditions on this, QH1 and H2.
Right. Basically, H1 puts a limit on how different the correlation can be for points that are close together. It relates to local regularity controlled by a parameter.
Okay. And H2?
H2 deals more with the large-scale behavior, sort of how correlated things are far apart or as you move away from the origin. It's linked to another parameter bait.
So, yeah, free for local stuff or larger scale stuff.
Got it.
Now, how do they actually analyze this equation? They mention the Feynman-CAC representation.
Ah, yes, the Feynman-CAC formula, equation 1.2. It's a really elegant and powerful tool here.
How does it work, in essence?
It lets you express the solution, UTX, not directly by solving the SPDE, but as an expectation and average value.
An average involving what?
It involves a standard Brownian motion path. Think of a random walk in an exponential
An
term,
exponential of.
an exponential of an integral. And that integral sums up the effect of the noise field W along that random Brownian path.
Wow. So it connects the solution to an average over all possible random paths interacting with the random environment.
Exactly. It's a beautiful connection between PDEs and probability.
And the paper improves on previous uses of this formula.
Yeah, they managed to show it's valid for the entire rough regime, H between 0 and 12, as long as condition H1 hold, and this combination 2H plus I is greater than 1. Earlier work needed H to be greater than 14, so less rough.
So they've extended the tool's reach into this really rough territory. But wait, if the noise W is so rough, how do you even calculate that integral in the exponential? It can't be a normal integral.
Good point. It's not. It has to be interpreted in a specialized way. They call it a nonlinear stochastic integral in the Stratonovich sense.
Okay, so a special technique for handling these very irregular noise paths.
Right. It requires some careful definition using approximations.
So Feynman-CAC gives them a way to represent the solution. What do they do with it to understand intermittency?
They use it to study the moments of the solution, EUT XK. They derive bounds, upper and lower limits for these moments. That's inequality 1.3.
And these bounds show the rapid growth.
Yes, they show how these moments grow with time and with the order of the moment. And crucially, the growth rates explicitly depend on the roughness H and the spatial parameters Alton Baer.
And when on equals bam, the bounds are sharp, meaning they match.
Exactly. It means they've really nailed down the exact exponential growth rate in that case.
Which leads to these Moment-Lyapunov exponents.
Right. Those MKX and MXX basically capture the long-term exponential growth rate of the kth
And
moment.
the key finding there.
Is that these exponents are bounded, inequality 1.4, they're positive and finite. This is what they mean by full intermittency. The moments grow exponentially, indicating strong fluctuations, but the growth rate itself is well defined.
It doesn't just run away infinitely fast. Okay. Is there a simpler example to make this feel more concrete?
Yes, they give one in remark 1.1. They look at one spatial dimension, D1, and choose the spatial correlation Q to be like that of a spatial fractional Brownian motion with its own Hurst parameter. Let's call it Go.
Okay, so roughness in time and
So,
roughness in space.
right. In that case, the conditions H1 and H2 are met with Okugukugo.
Ah, the sharp case.
Exactly. And the moment bounds simplify inequality 1.5, making it clearer how H and Go together drive the intermittency.
That helps. Now, they also compare this rough fractional noise to a different noise model studied elsewhere.
Yes, they compare it to work by Hu and others that used a noise related to the covariance of the Ries kernel or something similar. Different spatial structure.
And the comparison shows.
Some similarities, but also a key difference. If you try to match up the time component, relating their parameter Oku to our H via U222, you find a mismatch in the sign of the time exponent in the moment bounds.
A sign mismatch. That seems significant.
It is. They argue it comes down to the different natures of these two noises in space.
How so?
Their noise is non-homogeneous, growing spatially, while the other noise was homogeneous but had a singularity at the origin. So the spatial structure really matters for the details of the moment growth.
Even if the temporal roughness seems analogous.
Right. Though interestingly, they note a case where the exponent of K, the moment order in the growth rate, ends up being 3 in both models under specific parameter choices. A bit of a coincidence, perhaps.
Intriguing. What about the sections on stochastic integration and weak solutions? Are those just technical groundwork?
They are technical but essential groundwork. Section 2 carefully defines that Stratonovich integral for the rough noise W using an approximation scheme. Theorem 2.2 proves it exists and gives its second moment.
So making sure the math holds up.
Exactly. And Proposition 2.4 looks at the continuity properties, the smoothness or roughness of the integral itself.
And then section 3, exponential integrability.
Yeah, Theorem 3.1 is important. It shows the Feynman-CAIC integral is exponentially integrable. Basically, it means the solution UTX has finite moments of all orders. The tails aren't too fat.
So the intermittency, the fluctuations are strong, but not pathologically infinite.
Precisely. And theorem 3.6 then confirms that the solution defined via Feynman-Keck actually is a proper weak solution to the original SWDE using that Stratonovich interpretation. It closes the loop.
Okay, solid foundation. Now, you mentioned the bounds had upper and lower limits. The outline suggested getting the lower bound was trickier.
Yes, section 4 tackles the lower bound, theorem 4.1. Finding the upper bound often uses Jensen's inequality or similar tools, but lower bounds can be harder.
What's their approach?
It seems more involved. They introduce another Gaussian field, Y, and an independent fractional Brownian motion, B, just for this proof, lemma 4.2.
More random processes.
Yeah, auxiliary ones. And a key ingredient is lemma 4.3, an inequality for moments of certain integrals with respect to fractional Brownian motion that, crucially, only works one way, giving a lower bound.
Ah, so a specialized tool just for this purpose.
Seems like it. The proof then involves estimating probabilities related to the standard Brownian motion in the Feynman-Keck formula and doing some optimization to get that exponential lower rate. Definitely some mathematical heavy lifting.
Okay, so let's try to wrap this up. What are the big takeaways from this deep dive?
Well, we've seen this phenomenon, intermittency, these extreme fluctuations showing up in a stochastic heat equation.
But specifically one driven by noise that's unusually rough in time, H less than 12.
Right. And we saw the Feynman-Keck representation is a key tool to get a handle on the solution's behavior.
Allowing them to pin down both upper and lower bounds for how fast the moments grow.
Exactly. Confirming this full intermittency, strong exponential growth, but with well-defined rates that depend clearly on the noise parameters H, Heya, and Beamela.
And the broader significance. Why should you, listening, care about this?
Because understanding these kinds of extreme intermittent fluctuations is critical in lots of real-world areas, anywhere random effects multiply.
Like turbulence, population dynamics, maybe even finance.
Potentially, yes. Wherever small random inputs can snowball into large system-wide effects. This work helps understand the mathematical structure of that, especially when the driving randomness is very irregular.
It's a reminder, too, that even with intense randomness, there can be underlying mathematical structure governing the extremes. And, of course, the math itself is pretty sophisticated stuff from stochastic analysis.
It's definitely not trivial.
So, a final thought for you to consider. We saw how sensitive the growth rate of these moments is to that Hirst parameter H, the measure of temporal roughness. What might that imply about the predictability, or maybe the stability, of real systems modeled by equations like this? If the input roughness changes even slightly, could it push the system towards dramatically different levels of fluctuation?
That's a great question. Could there be critical thresholds of roughness?
Something to ponder. How does the texture of randomness translate into the extremity of outcomes? We hope this dive gave you a useful shortcut into this fascinating area and maybe sparked some more questions.
Thanks for joining us.